Let us pray. O God, quiet our minds, open our hearts, speak so that we might hear your voice above all others. Amen. In today's reading of the Gospel, Jesus addresses greed. Greed is defined as an excessive desire to acquire or possess more than one needs or deserves. While that is a simple definition, avoiding greed is not so simple in everyday life. I believe that Jesus wants us to have healthy relationships with our families and with ourselves. The best way to do this is by dealing honestly and directly with ourselves and with each other. When there is a family dispute between a mother and a daughter, the best way to resolve the dispute is not with interjecting the father. The best way to resolve the dispute is with direct dialogue between the mother and daughter. In counseling circles, when the father is interjected into this exchange, it is called triangulation. When anxiety between the mother and daughter is turned up, the father can be helpful to keep the peace or to return the mother and daughter to a healthy relationship with each other. The relationship between two individuals by counselors is called a dyad, meaning two. The dyad relationship of two is the most effective and efficient and productive of relationships. Now look what Jesus does when a man comes to him to settle a family dispute. Jesus says to the man, or the man says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." The man wants to move from a dyad to triangulation with the man, the brother, and Jesus. Jesus doesn't get sucked into this dispute with the triangulation between the man and his brother. Jesus says, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbitrator over you?" Jesus could have left the conversation there, but instead he decides to use this teachable moment. Jesus wants to teach this man and us about greed. As Jesus so often does, he tells a parable to explain greed in our lives with the parable of the rich fool. Let me read this parable again, only this time I'm going to read the parable from Eugene Peterson's The Message. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." Then he said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I will say to myself, 'Self, you have done well. You've got it made. You can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.'" Just then, God showed up and said, "Fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who will get it?" That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. For the man who came to Jesus, he couldn't get enough and wanted more from his brother for his inheritance. For the rich farmer, he had everything he needed and still wanted more. In either case, it was greed. It was greed because the farmer filled his barn with himself and not with God. The barn is simply a symbol for one's life. What is it that we fill our lives with in our desires? self, or God? One of my colleagues in the United Church of Christ is the Reverend Elizabeth Meyer Bolton, who retired as Minister for Discipleship at the historic Old South Church in Boston. She tells a delightful story about her grandmother, Nellie Caroline Meyer. And perhaps you have a Nellie in your family and can smile with this truth and humor of the story. Elizabeth writes about her beloved grandmother, Nellie. In her prime, she was a force to be reckoned with, tall, full-figured, and bold. She loved a good hat, a pretty dress, and fire engine red lipstick. In the 1950s and 60s, with the threat of nuclear war looming, Nellie stockpiled in her basement with cans of tomato, tuna, and bean salad. During the sugar shortage of the 1970s, she filled her cupboards with sugar, brown, refined, and raw. When the energy crisis came, she became obsessed with keeping the needle on her Buick gas gauge above 3/4 of a tank. Every other day, she would wait in long lines to fuel up. Her husband could never understand this, and one day he had had enough. "My goodness, Nellie," he said, "do we really need to wait in the line for gas again? We've got 3/4 of a tank." Elizabeth says that every member of her family can recite her grandmother's answer word for word. "Well, Jimmy, of course we have to wait in line. We got to get that gas before the hoarders do." Does this sound familiar to those who hoarded paper products and baby formula in the pandemic? But I digress. Elizabeth says today, all of Nellie Caroline Meyer's hats, cars, lipstick, and canned goods are gone. Everything she owned fits perfectly into the wardrobe of her room in the nursing home, where strong, kind people clip her nails, wipe strawberry jam from the corners of her mouth, and transfer her 3 times a day from a bed to a wheelchair. When Elizabeth visits her grandmother, she finds her grandmother looking small and insignificant, and it hurts her heart. But if you ask her grandmother how is she doing, she'll tell you she has everything she needs. People who care about her, a warm bed, and the inexhaustible grace of God. May we learn how to fill our barns with God. Amen.